Okay, we're starting at the bottom of your bed. I'm a bed. Vatikach Miriam, three lines from the bottom. At the end of this slew of stuff about Miriam, Vatikach Miriam Anibiya Achot Aharon. Achot, so why is she called Achot Aharon? Right? Wouldn't you think she'd be called Achot Moshe? Achot Aharon velo Achot Moshe. Amrav Amram Amarav. Va'amrila Amrav Nachman Amarav. Okay, whether Rav Amram or Rav Nachman passed it down the name of Rav. Milamed Shaitam Neb'a Keshehi Achot Aharon. Already before Moshe was born, when she was just Aaron's sister, at that point she started giving nevuah. Va'omeret atida imi shetele ben shemoshia et Yisrael. So she prophesied Moshe's birth. V'kevan shenolab Moshe nitmale kol habayit kula or. Amar avia unishakal rosha amar la biti nitkaiman nevuatech. So what happens? Moshe's born. The whole house is filled with light. And the father kisses her on the head and says, ah, look, what you said came true. V'kevan chitiluhu la yeur amar avia v'tipcha rosha amar la biti hechan nevuatech. Okay, and then what happens? Then they have to put him in the yeor, and then the father slaps her on the head and says, very, very unpleasant image, and says, what happened to your nevuah? You know, it doesn't seem like it's coming true. And therefore, v'hainu dechti v'titatzev achoto merachok l'de'a ma ya'aselo. Leda mayihe b'sof nevuata. Okay, and this is actually a really interesting midrash, because instead of taking Miriam and saying here she was the caring about her brother, it puts it as a personal thing, right? She felt like, what happened to my nevuah? You could look at it a little bit negatively. On the other hand, it could be she really believed, right? She heard the nevuah, so she knew something must happen, you know, must be. That something's going to happen, and therefore she takes the responsibility to not just, you know, send him off, but know that something will happen. And in the end, also we know she orchestrated what happens after with Bat Paro. So, you know, she kind of wanted to make sure maybe her nevuah got fulfilled. There was also a concept of nevuah, that when you have nevuah, you know, it's not just, oh, this is going to happen, and it's so vaday it's going to happen, but sometimes you have to make sure and take the proper steps to ensure that it happens. And that maybe is a perspective on the story, that Miriam, in order to make the nevuah come true, she saw it as her role. Since she got the nevuah, she has to make sure that we take this to the end.
How does that answer the question, why Achot Aharon?
Because Achot Aharon, when she gave the nevuah, she was Achot Aharon only. In other words, she gave this nevuah when she was, right? So there, all right, so the question is why it comes up specifically, right? That's a good question. When it comes, this pasuk is in Shirat Hayam. So at that moment, why is she, and it's at that moment of Kriyat Yam Suf, why specifically then is she called Achot Aharon? But I guess they're saying that her greatness was, you know, she was a leader at that point because of something that had happened before Moshe was even born. I guess they're trying to say she was this leader that led everyone in song, but her, you know, her kind of her strength came from when she was even younger. You have to remember also she was like 3 years old or something at the time. I think that was how old they say she was. But anyway, her strength came from earlier. Was 3 or 6 maybe, or no, 5? I don't remember. Anyway, she was young, but her strength came from at a young age where she already had this nevuah and then took responsibility for it. Okay. Yosef Zacha. So now we're going back to that Mishnah that we had, if you remember, way back when, before we had all these long statements. We had the Mishnah started with Shimshon and people who get midah keneged midah for bad things, and then it went to the positive things, and we were up to Miriam. That's why we had this whole long thing about Miriam. Now we're getting to Yosef. What was Yosef's issue? What did he do that was good? He insisted on burying his father. He was the main player there, even though he was very important and had better, you know, almost you could say, you know, seemingly important things to do. And because he was the one who specifically made the time from his busy life to bury his father, therefore he was zoche that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one to bury him. And then we said that Moshe Rabbeinu buried, because Moshe buried Yosef, then he was zoche, right? He also, in the same thing, didn't have this attitude, I'm so great, let my people do it. Therefore he was zoche that Hashem buried him. So that's what we're going to go off on today. Now we're going to have some problems with the psukim. The psukim say, "Dichtiv." In the beginning of the parsha, it says, "Vayal Yosef likborat aviv, v'yaalu ito kol avdei paro." So it says, "Yosef kol avdei paro," and then it says, "V'chol beit Yosef v'achiv ubeit aviv." Okay, so now it says, Maishna levasof dechtiv, vayashav yo. Oh, so it says, him, Avdei Paro came with him, and then all of Beit Yosef and his brothers. Okay, so basically that's your order. Yosef, Avdei Paro, the brothers. But then, levasof dechtiv, vayashav Yosef Mitzrayim, hu va'achiv. Vahadar, and then it says, V'chol ha'olim ito likbor et aviv. When they come back, the order is different. It's Yosef, his brothers, and then everybody else. Presumably Avdei Paro. So Amar v'Yochanan, B'tchila, ad shelo ra'u b'chvodan shel Yisrael, lo nahagu behen kavod. U'levasof, shera'u b'chvodan, nahagu behem kavod. So they say in the beginning, until they saw, This is talking about the. I'm trying to think. It seems like it would be the opposite. Just one sec. Right. It's who they were. Okay. In the beginning, the Avdei Mitzrayim didn't give kavod to Yosef's brothers because they felt like we're giving kavod to Yosef. We're going to walk with Yosef, but we don't have so much respect for the brothers. So therefore, they insisted on following Yosef. And then the brothers came after. But once they saw, okay, now we're going to see soon what they saw, when they saw the chvodan of the brothers, how respected they were and how respected Yaakov was, then nahagu behen kavod, then they gave respect to the brothers. Dichtiv, now what did they see? Vayavo ad Goren ha'atad. Okay, now this is a weird pasuk because Goren ha'atad doesn't seem to be a location. We would always think Goren ha'atad is a place, the name of a place. Okay, this is where they went when they go to bury Yaakov. So, v'chi goren, yesh lo la'atad. So, what is a goren? A goren is a storage place. And what's an atad? It's kotzin. It's thorns. So, what, the goren of the thorns? It doesn't make sense that you would store thorns. So, what does this mean? Amar Rav Yavao, milamed shehi kifuhu k'tarim la'arono shel Yaakov, ki goren ze shemikifin lo atad. When you have a storage place, what do? You surround it with thorns so that no animals come in and attack your storage place. So what did happen to the burial place of Yaakov? It was surrounded, we're going to see in a minute, with k'tarim, with these crowns. And the crowns were a way of serving as protection of the burial place. Just like the atah, the thorns, protect a goren, a storage place. What are these k'tarim? Shebao b'nei Esav u'b'nei Yisrael u'b'nei k'turah. Tana kulam l'milchama. Okay, so first let's just explain. So who put these crowns out? The Bnei Esav, the Bnei Ishmael, and the Bnei Keturah. Okay, right? The Bnei Keturah from Avraham. Remember, he marries Keturah. So all of them come to pay respects to Yaakov. And that's in the end what we're going to see. That's what the Mitzrim saw, and they saw how well-respected Yaakov was. And as a result of that, they gave respect to the children and let the children go first on the way home. So now, why did they come out in the first place? Tana kulam l'milchama ba'u. First, they came out to fight against them. Okay, they saw them bringing Yaakov's body back. They decided, let's go out and fight against them. Kevan shera'u kitro shel Yosef taloi ba'arono shel Yaakov. But then they saw how great Yosef was. Okay, this is, it's all about power. They saw, oh, look, this great ruler from Mitzrayim put his keter on the Aron of Yaakov. So natlu kulan kitrehenu tla'um ba'arono shel Yaakov. So everybody then put their own crowns, each, okay, now we're going to see in a minute, the heads of each family, of all, remember the Aluf Teman, Aluf Kenaz, all like the heads of the Yishmael and the Esav and the Torah families put their own k'tarim on his aron. And that's when the Mitzrim saw and said, oh wow, this must be a really chashuv family, and then they gave respect to his children. Tana, the Braita says about this issue, Shloshim v'shisha k'tarim nitlu ba'arono shel Yaakov. Okay, there were 36. Now there's like a whole issue Rashi brings up. Who are the 36? Because if you do the count, it doesn't exactly come out right. Okay, so Rashi says the 36 are 12 Nesim of Yishmael, 13 Alufim of Esav. And if you say, when you really look, there's really 25. So how could you say 23? So they say, Hein Teimanu Knaz Nimnu Shnei Pa'amim. Okay, there's a repetition of Aluf and Knaz, and they're the same. Okay, so therefore you get rid of two, and therefore that gets you 12 of Yishmael, 23 of Esav, and one of Yaakov, that adds up to 36. And he says, if you note that Korach is also mentioned twice, just like Teiman and Knaz, and therefore you're going to ask the question of Rashi, it doesn't make sense. Rashi says, no, those are two different Korachs. Okay, so he has to explain it up. It's not so simple. There's totally different explanations, because if you notice, what's missing here? This is Esav and Yishmael, but B'nai Keturah are missing. So some say, no, there's a different count, and it's not 23 of Yishmael, actually. And then there's like some difference of opinions whether you include Yosef in this, or it doesn't include Yosef, and whether there's 10 of Keturah, 12 of Yishmael, and then the rest are Esav, and they go by a different list. There's a whole issue. I don't want to get into it, but there's a from the Torah. Yeah. The Aluf Kenaz, Aluf Teman, Aluf, right? So all those. And then there's a question of, I guess, how you decide families. Do you go by, I guess, a different generation? There's like two different lists, and because of that, they come up with the different numbers. There's a whole issue about it. Okay. Vayispedu sham misped gadol v'kaved ma'od. Okay, so now there was a big, right? Yaakov's buried. There's a big misped. Tana afilu susim va'afilu chamorim. Okay, what does this mean? The susim and the chamorim also. So there's a few different interpretations. How did they do a hesped, right? They clearly didn't eulogize him or cry. So some people say because of all the mehuma going on, so they started to neigh and make all their noises like it was a big mehuma and it sounded like they were being maspid. Some people say they dressed them in black to it was more from the people coming that they were doing it. There was a third interpretation I saw, which was that they forgot in a second. Let's see. They weren't fed that day because everyone was busy, and because they weren't fed, they were very upset and therefore acted out, and that was their hesped. Okay. Kevan shigiu l'marat ha-machpelah. So now what happens? Remember, they came to fight, then they said, oh, okay. But now they get to Maran HaMachpelah to bury him. Atu Esav kama akev. Esav comes and says, wait, hold on. What spot are you giving him in Maran HaMachpelah? Amar lahem mamre kiryat ha-arba hi chevron. Right? What's mamre? It's kiryat ha-arba. What's arba? Four zugot. So who's there? Adam and Chava, Abraham and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka. And now, and Leah is buried there. So now there's one spot left. You can imagine where Esav's going to go with this. Va'amar Rabbi Yitzchak Kiryat Arba Arba Zugot Hayu. Sorry, it's going to say it here. Adam v'Chava Avraham v'Sara Yitzchak Rivka Yaakov Leah. Iu Kavra LeLeah B'Didei. What does he say? You buried Leah in your spot. It was supposed to be Esav and Yaakov, and you took she took your spot. V'Hai Defayish. And what's left? Didihu Amule Zivinta. So what does Yaakov say? You sold your burial spot to me. You remember him selling his burial spot? No, remember him selling his bechorah, not his burial spot. So what's he talking about? Amar lehu, nehi dizvine bechurta, pshituta mizvine. He says to him, I know I sold you the bechorah, but I didn't sell you my burial spot. Amru le in, dichtiv bekavri asher kariti li. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, mishumar b'shimar b'nei hotzadak, ein kira ela lashon michira. So the sons say, no, your father told us that he actually sold us, that you sold him the burial plot. He bought it off of you. And that, how do we know it? Because it says, you should bury me b'kivri asher kariti li. Now, kariti, l'chrot debor, is to dig a well. But they say that the word, the lashon chara, is from michira. Okay, it's also to sell. And it means that I bought. Okay, that I bought myself this plot, and they say Bekarcheyam. We've seen this before. The port cities—they're the places where often we learn about linguistics, because the other nations come and they speak, and you know we get to like with interpretation. So we learn about other things, and they call mechira kira. Okay, so now he says, "You actually sold me the bechora." I forget. There's a right. I'm sorry. You sold me the burial plot. What they say though is he didn't sell it at the same time he sold the Bechorah. It was at a different time. I'm trying to remember now where they said. Right, there's a midrash that says that when Yitzchak died, it was at Yitzchak's burial that he sold it to him. Because Yaakov realized when he buried Yitzchak that Esav is going to want to be buried here. And he said, how could I bury this Rasha in Maran HaMachpelah? So according to the midrash, he cuts a deal with him right then and there, and he offers him a ton of money just so that he won't be buried in Maran HaMachpelah. In other words, it's again, it's the same issue with the Bechorah. he sees the opportunity. He knew that Esav, again, this is all according to the Midrash, that he is like for the here and now, right? Based on the Nizir Adashim. He was hungry. He wanted food. He was willing to sell it, right, in order to get food. So now, just like he sold the Bechara there, he was willing to take money at that point because he wasn't looking into the future of what will happen when I die, right? And only when he gets there does he realize, oh, no, now I'm stuck. So it's like taking the Torah story of the selling of the Bechara and applying it to another situation and saying the same kind of thing happened there. Okay, so now what's the issue? Amar Lehu, he says, you think I sold it? Well, havli igrata, go bring me the deed, right? You have the shtar that says you bought it, because I don't see a shtar. Amrule, igrata ba'arad mitzrayim hu. Oh, we left it at home, right? Biggest excuse, and right? Oh, sorry, I don't have it here. We left it in Mitzrayim. Uman nezal, so who's going to go back to get it? Nezal Naftali, let's say Naftali. Why Naftali? Tekalal ki ayalta. Remember, he's kal ki ayal. Okay? Like an ayala. Dechtib Naftali ayala shlucha hanotein imre shfar. Now here they're going to say, what happened? The pasuk about Naftali in the Brachot is Naftali is an ayala shlucha. What does that mean, right? He runs very fast. He could be a shaliach. Hanotein imre shfar. So what does that mean? Amar Rabbi Abba, al tekre imre shfar, ela imre sefer. That he was sent far, you know, because he was fast, to get the sefer. What's a sefer? Another word for a shtar. He was the one sent to get the deed. Okay, now it gets more interesting. Chushim Berei Dedan, okay, he was the son of Dan. His name was Chushim. Taman Hava, he was there. V'ikaran Le Odne, his ears weren't so good, he couldn't hear. Okay, he was deaf. So Chushim, interesting, his name was Chushim, right, senses. His Chushim was deaf, so he didn't have any idea what was going on here, basically. He was clueless. He didn't see what was going on. He didn't see what transpired, what the back and forth was. So he, all of a sudden, and this is like an interesting psychological thing that they're pointing out, that sometimes when, you know, while they were all at it, they were all into this, well, prove this, right? But what did they lose sight of? That Yaakov, if they were going back to Mitzrayim to get the deed to prove he actually bought this burial plot, poor Yaakov, his dead body's going to sit here rotting. You know, it's not very respectful. So Chushim, who's not part of the whole discussion, all of a sudden looks and sees this big delay going on. He doesn't know why. He doesn't know what's going on. And he says, how could this possibly be, right? What does he say? My high, what's going on? V'amulei kama akev hai ada'ate Naftali me'arad Mitzrayim. We're waiting until Naftali gets back from Mitzrayim. Amar lehu, va'adatai Naftali me'arad Mitzrayim yehe avi abba mutal b'bisayon. You're going to leave him here rotting? What kind of craziness? So what does he do? Shakal kufa machye areshe. He takes a stick and he smacks Esav on the head and kills him. Okay? Natran ene, his eyes bulge out of his face. Vinaflu akara diyako. Okay, the story gets even stranger. It falls, his eyes like pop out, Esav's eyes when he hits him. They fall onto the lap of Yaakov, on the legs of Yaakov. Patrinu Yaakov le'ene. Yaakov opens his eyes, okay? This is based on, there's like this midrash that talks about that Yaakov never really died. Okay, you've seen this with other people, like Eliyahu goes up to Shammai, that maybe Yaakov really wasn't fully dead. And, okay, anyway, it's a midrash. He opens his eyes. Le'ene, v'achicha. Sorry, how do you, le'ene. Oh, v'achich, and he smiles. Okay, because he smiles at seeing the downfall of Esav. V'hainu d'chtiv, yismach tzadik ki chazan nakam pa'amav. The tzadik will be happy when he sees the revenge on his enemy. Yurchatz bedam harasha. Okay, and he'll bathe in the blood of the rasha. Right, doesn't this sound like the bathing in the blood, like the blood libel things? Okay, bo'tasha'a nitkaiman v'atasha rifka. Now, why do they want to say that Esav died on that day? And again, this is all midrash. It's not meant to be as if it really happened, but they're trying to connect it to Nivuata Shel Rivka, Dichtiv. We have a lot of Nivuot of women in today's daf. Dichtiv, Lama Eshkal Gam Shnechem Yom Echav. Remember when she sends off Yaakov to run away from Esav to Laban's house, what did she say? I don't want to get both my sons killed in one day. Right? Clearly they didn't die. Yaakov's dead already a while. They're bringing him now to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. But okay, they're saying that what she said at that moment was really she was prophesizing. And therefore, they at least got buried in one day. V'ilo asa. Okay, so that's the end of that interesting back and forth about Yaakov's death. V'ilo asak be Yosef. Achiv lo hava ma'askebe. Remember, this whole thing started out with Yosef is so great that he dealt with the burial of Yaakov. So now they're saying, and if he hadn't dealt with it, what, his brothers wouldn't have? V'haktiv v'yisu oto banav artza Kanan. When it actually happens, it says the brothers carried him. So clearly, they were part of it. So Amru, so why is, the whole question is, why is it called in Yosef's name that he gets the scoop for it when really the brothers also were a whole part of it? So they say, the brothers said, Hanichulo, let Yosef get the credit. Why? Kvodo b'melachim yoter mibehed yotot. It's more respectful for Yaakov that he's buried by a king than to be buried by us. Okay? And it was a way of them showing respect to Yosef and really showing respect in the end to Yaakov. That Yaakov should be buried by a king and not by regular people. So he gets the credit. Milanu gadol mi Yosef. Okay, so then I think that's about Moshe, right? Who's? Oh no, that was saying no one else was greater than Yosef. So why is it that he was dealing with the burial? So Tana Rabbanan, bo re'e kama chavivot mitzvot al Moshe Rabbeinu, shekol Yisrael nitasku b'bizah v'hu nitzasek b'mitzvot. Okay, now we're already jumping to Moshe, to the next person. So Yosef was so, right, was such an important person and yet spent the time. So he got rewarded that Moshe buries him. So now we're going to talk about Yosef's burial by Moshe. So they say again, Moshe, right, what happened with Moshe? They were all busy leaving Mitzrayim, and what were they doing? Collecting the jewels from the Egyptians. And what was Moshe busy with? Getting the Atzamot of Yosef. Now what's with the Atzamot of Yosef? So the Atzamot of Yosef, where were they? Who buried Yosef? The Egyptians. So the Jews had no idea where he was buried. But yet they were supposed to, right? Remember, Yosef makes them swear, the brothers swear at the end of Bereishit, that they're going to bring up their bones with him. So now we're going to get into the famous Midrashim about this. Shenemar, Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvot. Okay, this is the Pasuk in Mishlei, which says that's a reference that he's going to, that whoever's smart is going to be involved in Mitzvot rather than collecting jewels. Uminayin haya yodea Moshe Rabbeinu hechan Yosef kavur, right? How does he know? Amru, Serach bat Asher, another woman. Okay, we're very into, right, this is Masechet Sota, the woman's at the center here, okay, whether for good or bad. Here we happen to have a lot of very strong, dominant women on the page. Serach bat Asher is this very interesting character. She's listed in this list of genealogy, and she's listed in a few places in the Torah, and because of that, they assume that she was the only one still alive in Yetziat Mitzrayim that had been come down to Mitzrayim. She was part of the Shivim Nefesh, the Yardu Mitzrayima, the daughter of Asher, and she was still alive. So therefore, who's going to know? She's going to know, because she's the oldest lady around, right? Serach bat Asher nishtayra me'oto ador. Halach Moshe etzla. Amar la, klumat yodat echan Yosef kavur? Do you know where he's buried? Amar lo, aron shal matechet asulo mitzrim, v'kava'uhu banilus hanahar, kadei sheyitbarchu me'mav. They wanted the Nile, right? This always goes back to why is the Nile so blessed? Right, the Nile is blessed because they buried Yaakov's Aron in there because they wanted him to give. They knew he gave them blessing in his life. They figured he'd give them blessing in his death. So therefore, they put him in the Nilus in an Aron of Matechet, a metal coffin. Halach Moshe v'amar asfat Nilus. Amar lo Yosef Yosef higia ha'et shenishba kadosh baruch hu shani goel etchem v'higia hashvuah shenishbat et Yisrael. Right? Okay, God has saved us, and here's the time for us to keep our promise. Im atam mar'etz mecha mutav. If you appear, then great. Vim lav, hare anu menukim shvuatcha. In other words, if you don't come out, well, I can't help it. I can't find you. We're going to be patur from our promise. Miyad tzaf arono shel Yosef. Okay, immediately it comes to the surface. Va'al titma, and don't wonder, he'ach barzel tzaf. How could metal, right, iron float. Share k'tiv v'yehi ha'acha mepil ha'kore v'et ha'barzel nafala lamayim. Okay, this is a story in Elisha, one of these miracle stories where one of the guys is chopping and a piece of his axe flies off and drowns in the water. And then aha adoni v'hu sha'ul. He says, oh my God, but I borrowed it. You know, how can I get it out? V'yomer ish Elohim ana nafal. Where did it fall? V'yareu et ha'makom. He shows him the place. V'yiktzav etz v'yishlach shama v'yasef ha'barzel. He puts a piece of wood in there, and the barzel floats up. So what they're saying is, if Elisha can make this miracle happen, that metal could float, when we're talking about something that's so insignificant, just he has to return this this piece of his axe to his friend. So v'halo dvarim kavachomer uma Elisha, and not only that, but also Elisha is talmido shel Eliyahu ve'Eliyahu talmido shel Moshe. Okay, how we get the Eliyahu as a talmid of Moshe is a good question. Some people say Eliyahu is Pinchas, and then Pinchas was a talmid, right? They say that he's a Gilgul. You ever hear that? That they're the same, because why? They're both Kana'im. So they connect them in the Midrash, and they say they're actually the same Nishama, basically. But really, it's connecting concepts. And some people say he was a talmid of a talmid of a talmid of Moshe, you know, and they trace it back to there. Sach Barzel Mipanav. Moshe Rabbeinu, alacha kama v'kama, right? So if Elisha, who was clearly not in the same, right, you could just say it in other words, he clearly wasn't on the same level as Moshe Rabbeinu, and he was able to do it, and also for something not so significant, all the more so Moshe Rabbeinu, and also for the fact that the importance of what he was doing, all the more so. Rabbi Natan Omer, so now we're talking about what was he buried in? B'kabarnit shel melachim haya kavur. Okay, there's a few different interpretations where the kabarnit, either it's just a box, like a coffin, or maybe it's a, what was another?
Catacombs,
right. Or like a labyrinth type thing could be another explanation.
He also might have been mummified.
Right, embalmed. He also might have been, right, embalmed, exactly. So, b'kabarnit shel melachim haya kavur. See, he was buried like the kings were. Halach Moshe v'amar kabarnit shel melachim. Okay, so here's a different version of the story. It doesn't have to do with Sef Bar Asher, wasn't in the water. Okay, he was buried in those catacombs of the kings. So Moshe goes and stands there, right? The explanation that it's a labyrinth makes a lot of sense, right? Because in other words, it's this labyrinth, you can't find your way around. He has no idea how he's going to find it. Amar Yosef, higia et shenishbar kadosh baruch hu, shani goel etchem. Same thing. Higia shvua shishbat et Yisrael. Ima tamar atzmacha mutav, v'im lav, hari anu menukim mishvuatcha. Bo'ta sha'a nizda'azea arono shel Yosef. It started to shake. So then he knew. Nitalo Moshe v'hevi etzlel. So now we're going to talk about, okay, so now we figured out how he found it. Either it was in this catacomb and this labyrinth type thing and he found it, it started to shake, or it was in the water and it rose to the surface. Again, what you do exactly with all these stories is, you know, good question. And the question always is, these stories were not meant to be seen as actual things. They're meant to send a message, to get a concept across. So the question is, what kind of concept is going on here? Again, this fits in with our theme of miraculous events. If we go back to the miracle of Sota, miracle of Shimshon, and all these, you know, miracle things that happen in order to, you know, fulfill things. Or it's interesting also, Minikim Shvuatech, I just realized, is like the Sota. She says the same thing about this Nakim Shvuah. Yeah. So it's interesting.
It's interesting that it's just here to send us a message, but yet they're being so made up deck. Like, well, how can iron flow to the surface?
Right.
Like, either they're mixing this agadis hour with
yes.
the concept of scientific halal.
Right, they are. It's very interesting. right. Anyway, I still believe it's not meant to be understood as literal in the words of the Rambam, right? Going on. The Rambam says anyone who thinks that these stories, anyone who hasn't seen that text, very interesting one, anyone who thinks that the Midrashim are meant to be understood literally, is basically, you know, he says it in not such nice words, but it's basically, you know, mistaken. Okay? I think he says it in the words of his not a very smart person. You know, I agree with that theory.
It has different in the sense, like then the plagues and Kriyat Yamsuf, it comes in the same time period. So only because it's a Midrash.
It's a difference between what it says in the Torah and what it says in the Midrash. He distinguishes between.
Right, but I'm saying if
right,
you
so it, you can
in general and taking them literally, then
right.
the whole.
Right, so he's not necessarily talking about miracles. He's talking about Midrashim. Midrashim, like, you know, Rivka was 3 years old when she got married, or, you know, things like that. That they weren't meant to be taken literally because the rabbis, their whole idea was to get across ideas in a midrash format. That was the format they used to get across their beliefs, and that they were never meant to be understood that way. Now, it's a different thing when you talk about the Torah, because the question is, it's harder to understand what God intended when he wrote the Torah. If you believe that the Torah was given by God, so then what was his intent, and can we start to darshan or not? But yeah, for sure there's people who say these stories also didn't exactly happen that way. They're meant to get across messages, and then that's, you know, so you're saying what you're pointing out is that it's the same kind of concept applied to the Torah also, and then that's a question, can you say that or not? That's already, you know, because it's Torah versus Midrash, right. It's a different question, but it definitely is a... What?
You can't say.
Right,
that,
right.
That's
it's definitely a possible reading of the Torah also. So, okay, but the Rambam doesn't say that. Okay, so now what happens? So kol otan shanim sheYisrael b'midbar hayu shnei aronot halalu, echad shel met ve'echad shel shechina, malchin zeim ze. So now all of a sudden they're comparing the Aron Kodesh to the Aron of Moshe. Right? Very interesting. They're saying there were these two aronot that went. One was the shechina, which was very much alive, and one was the dead body of Yosef. Of Yosef. Sorry, I was confusing them. Yeah, of Yosef. People would walk by and say, what's going on? What's in these aronot? And as what kind of thing is this? We have a dead body walking with the Shechina. The dead one kept everything that was written in the Aron Kodesh. This is another way of saying how the Avot kept all the mitzvot, right? Even though it was before Matan Torah. Right? They're saying Yosef kept all the mitzvot, okay, that were written in the Torah. Even though we know also that is not true, right? They didn't necessarily keep all the mitzvot. It's a way of the rabbi saying, if you know, people come and complain, well, why do I have to keep this? Or if our Avot didn't even keep this, it's a way of them saying, no, also our Avot kept the Torah, meaning it was ingrained, you know, and it was part of whether they kept it, fi taryag mitzvot, you know, like that famous midrash about that Avraham even did Eruv Chatzerot or Eruv Tchumin or, you know, the one of the Eruvim that he kept, you know, even that, which is obviously a bit extreme, wasn't, you know, he didn't keep that, but the point is that he kept the mitzvot, he had a masoret. V'ilo asik be Moshe, Yisrael lo havu ma'askim be. Now we're going to have the same question about Moshe we had about Yosef. If Moshe hadn't dealt with the burial, so what? B'nai Yisrael wouldn't have dealt with it? Like, why did Moshe make the effort to do this if B'nai Yisrael could have done it? V'haktiv ve'et atzmot Yosef asher he'elu B'nai Yisrael mi'mitzrayim kafru b'shchem. First of all, it says, the atzmot Yosef that B'nai Yisrael brought up. So again, why does it get called in Moshe's name if B'nai Yisrael really did it? Vitu, and additionally, Elo Yasku Be Israel, Banav Lohayuma Askebe, Bahakti, Vayula Bene Yosef Linachala. So if Bene Israel hadn't dealt with it, at least Yosef had sons who could have taken up his bones. So wouldn't they have taken up his bones? As if maybe not the whole nation, but at least his children. So what do they say? Hanichulok Vodo Bimrubim Yotermi Bimuatim. So they said, let his kavod be with greatness rather than with low, you know, low people. Again, the same concept as by Yosef and burying his father. V'tu amru, hanichu lo kvodo b'gdolim yoter mibiktanim. In other words, the merubim and muatim is Am Yisrael versus his children. Better that every, right, that it would be a thing for the whole nation rather than just his children. And also, better that it be the gdolim of Moshe rather than the ktanim of his children. Kavru b'shchem. Now they're going to point out, it's very interesting that he's buried in Shechem. Why in Shechem? Maishna b'shchem. Am Rabbi Chama b'Rabbi Chanina, mishchem genavuhu, u'lishchem nachzir avedato. The whole thing started in Shechem. Now it's a bit of a problem because it didn't really start in Shechem. Where does Shechem come up? When Yosef went down to see his brothers, he goes to Shechem and he asks someone, do you see my brothers? And then he says they went to Dotan. So it really happened in Dotan. So there's a bit of a discussion among the Mefarshim whether maybe he met them in Dotan, but they actually sold him in Shechem, or whether Dotan is really like a suburb of Shechem and it's really part of Shechem, or Dotan isn't actually a place, but it's like a drush that he said to them. And I forget how the drusha works about Dotan. That they're like with datehem, something about their religion, like they've gone off a little, something like that. So it's a bit of a question how it, but, or you could just say the story started in Shechem. In other words, that was where he first meets this guy, and that was the beginning of the whole thing. Kashu kra ahadade. So there's a problem between the psukim. K'tiv, vayikach Moshe et atzmot Yosef imo, uchtiv ve'et atzmot Yosef asher he'elu b'nei Yisrael. So again, Moshe or b'nei Yisrael. So I'm Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina, kol ha'oseh davar v'lo gemaro, uba acher v'gamaro, Ma'aleh alav ha'katuv al shagamro ki'ilu asa'o. And where's this pasuk about B'nai Israel? It's in Yehoshua, when Moshe's already dead. So while Moshe was the one who took the bones, in the end, he didn't finish the job. So what do they learn from here? Again, this is obviously trying to teach you a lesson, right? If you do a job, finish it, right? Obviously, Moshe couldn't have finished it. But if you finish a job, or if you finish up someone else's job that they didn't complete, you get credit for the maaseh, which again is both to tell you, finish up things that other people left and didn't finish, or also, if you start something, you finish it, because otherwise it's not going to get called in your name. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Af Moridimo Tomigdulato. If you start something but don't finish it, then in the end you get taken down from greatness. Where do we see this? Dichtiv, we go back to our story about Yehuda. Vayehi ba'et ahuv vayered Yehuda. He goes down. What do they say? Vayered, he goes down. In other words, he was brought down. Why was he brought down? Because he suggested the selling of Yosef, but in the end he didn't do it. Okay, someone else did it, and he never finished it. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani amar, af kover ishto banav. Not only do you get taken down for your greatness, but you bury your wife and your children. Dichtiv, vatamat batshua eshet Yehuda, uchtiv vayamat erva onan, right? His sons died and his wife died. In other words, they're saying, what was he punished for? That he didn't finish the job. That he left it open. Am Rabbi Yehuda amarav, mipnei ma nikra Yosef atzamot b'chayav. They call Yosef atzamot, because they say v'et atzamot Yosef. So they're saying, why do they call him atzamot? Why didn't they just say et Yosef, they brought? Okay? It's when he's still alive, he says, I think it's when he says about himself, that I'm going to, you know, you should bring my atzamot. Okay, why doesn't he say, just bring me when I'm dead? You know, and he says atzamot. Again, they just want to make a drasha here. Mipnei shalomicha b'chvod aviv. He was punished because he didn't protest when they showed disrespect of his father in his face. Now, it's really, he sort of disrespected his father. Why? Because they said to him, avdecha avinu, our father is your slave, your servant, when they didn't know who he was. And he didn't say anything about it. He let it go. So again, what do you see here? This is all about not being, right, like showing arrogance. It goes back to all those arrogant statements we had before. V'lo amar lehu v'lo midi. And he didn't say anything at that point to say, oh, don't put my father in the context of my slave. Amar v'yuda amar rabbi itemar rabbi chama rabbi chanina mipnei ma meit Yosef kodem l'achiv. Why did he die earlier than his brothers? Because it says, Vayamat Yosef, and then V'chol Echa, V'chol Adorahu. Seems he died first. Mipnei Shein Higatzmo B'Rabbanut. Again, this concept of arrogance. He perceived himself as leader over them. And therefore, right, even though there were positive things about this, in the end it was also a very negative thing. Because, again, he took the power into his own hands. It's all this thing about power. Which, again, could go back to, if we talk about it, it could go back to a relationship between a husband and wife, about one exuding power over the other, taking it to the wrong places. V'yosef hu rab mitzrayma. Okay, why does it say hu rad? Okay, Amar Rabbi Elazar, al tekre horad, ela horid. It doesn't mean that he was brought down, because he was actually brought down there for a good reason, right? In the end, he saved the people. So what does it mean? He brought down when he went to Egypt. Okay, this is a drush, obviously. What did he bring down? Shehorid itztaknine paro migdulatan. Because he, in the end, interpreted Paro's dream, and the magicians of Paro couldn't do it. The interpreters, the astrologers of Paro couldn't do it. So in the end, he brought down Paro's people. Vayikneu potifar sris paro. Okay, so now what do they say? Amarav, shekana ola atzmo. Why did Potiphar buy him? Because he wanted to have homosexual relations with him. Okay, we're getting back into the sexual connotation here. So what do they say? Ba Gabriel upir o meikara. Okay, so now they say Gabriel came and castrated him in a very serious way, like meikar, from the very bottom. He castrated Potiphar, so that he wouldn't be able to have sexual relations with Yosef. How do we know this? Because Ktiv Potiphar ulevasof Potiphera. Because they change his name to Potiphera, they learn it from Phera Lifroa that they castrated him. Mi lanu gadomi Moshe v'chule. Vayomer Hashem elai rav lecha. Now we talk about Moshe. What did Moshe say? When Moshe gets punished, now we're talking about when Moshe's end of his life when he gets punished. Hashem says to him, rav lecha, which means enough already. Stop begging me to forgive you for this avera that you did. You're getting punished and there's nothing to do about it. So why this lashon of rav lecha? Here we're getting, right, this is all parshanut hamikra. Amar Rabbi Levi, birav biser, birav bisruhu. What does this mean? Moshe said birav, used the word rav, and therefore God told him when he got punished, you're going to be punished birav, with that word. So what's this? Birav biser, where does he say it? Rav lachem, who's that? Korach. Rav lachem b'nei Levi, I think it is, right? He says to them, you know, why are you looking for such greatness, right? Enough already. And Rav lachem means right enough, enough greatness. Stop trying to take greatness. And therefore, b'rav bisruhu, rav lecha. Therefore, God answers him back. Now, you might say, what do you mean? Korach was out of line, right? But again, what does this show? Moshe, yes, he was supposed to reprimand Korach, but there's a way to say it. And Rav Lacha was very Rav Lachem was a very disrespectful way. And therefore, when he gets punished, again, he's not getting punished for that, but really, what's he getting punished for? In general, for not being able to lead the people. And so it was partly, he wasn't the right fit. And that's what they're saying. God is saying, you know, when you say Rav Lacha, it was almost like the same thing when he got angry at the people and says, Marima Yitim and Hashem, right? That he doesn't know how to control it. He doesn't know how to say it in the proper manner, which also makes him not the right leader. So therefore, Rav Lacha. Davar Acher. Rav Lacha, Rav Yesh Lacha. You have a successor, basically. Umanu Yoshua. In other words, I already appointed someone in your place, so therefore I can't change it. Davar Acher, Rav Lacha, Shelo Yomru HaRav Kama Kashe B'Tamid Kama Sarvan. Stop asking me because I don't want people to say the Rav is so kashe and the Talmid is so, you know, is, what's a Sarvan like, is refusing to accept what he says. V'kol kach lama, so now we're going back to the first interpretation. Why did he get punished for what he said to Korach? Tana Deber Rabbi Yishmael, Lepum Gam Lashichna. According to the Gamal, that's how you get punished. And this is this famous concept that tzaddikim get punished for smaller things than other people do. And therefore, he had to kind of put himself in a much better, because he was a leader, he had to hold to a certain standard. And because he didn't, therefore he got punished for it. Vayomer Alehem, okay, Moshe's death. What does he say? Ben me'av esrim shana anochi hayom. She'ein tamud lomar hayom. Why does he have to say hayom? Just say, I'm 120. Hayom mil'u yamayu shnotai. Right? What does he mean? I'm 120 today. Today is my birthday. Right? This is the famous that Moshe died on the same day he was born. L'lamdecha shakadosh baruch hu mashlim shnotehem shal tzadikim miyom liyom u'michodesh l'chodesh. Dechtiv et mispar yamecha amalei. Okay? In other words, they're saying it's a reward that he got to live out to the fullest, right? He finished exactly on his birthday. He finished, right? It's this concept of there's an importance to a year. Right, to a whole cycle. And so the Kim Dafka die on the day they're born. Lo chal od latzeit v'lavo. What does it mean, lo chal od latzeit v'lavo? My latzeit u'lavo. Ilem a latzeit v'lavo mamash. If it means, you know, he couldn't walk, he couldn't do things. V'haktiv u'moshe b'meh v'eshrim shana b'moto. Lo nas lecho. Right? It says he was just as, right? It means like his liquids didn't dry up. He was totally capable. Uktiv v'yal moshe me'arvot mo'av el har nevo. He climbed up the mountain. If he couldn't function, right, he couldn't, let's say, Belavo, walk back and forth and do things, well, how did he go up to the top of the mountain? Good question, right? You ever think about that? V'tanya, 12 ma'alot hayusham, u'psa'am Moshe b'psi'achat. And not only that, but they say there were 12 steps to get up, and he took him in one big step. Am Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Am Rabbi Yonatan, let's say, Belavo, b'divrei Torah, melamech nistatmu mimenu sha'arei chokhma. He wasn't able anymore to converse in Torah. That was where he was up to. Vayelech Moshe v'Yoshua v'yitetzvu ba'ol moed. So they go together to ol moed. So what do they learn from this? Tana, the Brita says, Ota Shabbat shel Dyo Zuge Haita. That week, they both ruled at the same time. As there was an overlap there. Nitla reshut mizeh v'nitna lezeh. As power went from one to the other, they were there together so that they could show the turnover of the power. This all goes to this whole thing with in the beginning of Yoshua, with Chazak Ma'amatz, and that Yoshua basically, right, he needs the recognition of the people, so that they did that Ma'amatz so that everyone could see. Am Rav Yehuda, Ilema Mikra Ketuv, if there wasn't a Pasuk that said it, Yehefshar Lomro Hechan Moshe Met. We wouldn't know where Moshe died. Why? B'chalkosha Ruvain, did Moshe die B'chalkosha Ruvain? Dechti V'yal Moshe Meravot Mo'av Al Har Nevo. U'Nevo B'chalkosha Ruvain Kaima. Okay, so clearly he gets to Nevo, that's where he goes, Har Nevo, and Har Nevo is in Reuven's territory. So he died there, but he was buried somewhere else. This is very interesting. He didn't get buried where he died. How do we know? He was kavur b'chalko shel Gad, dichtiv v'yar reshit lo. Right, this pasuk is Vayareshit lo ki sham chalkat mechokek safun. Okay, what do they say? Chalkat mechokek safun. Safun is safun, hidden. And chalkat mechokek, who was the mechokek? The legislator was Moshe. So in God, he was hidden. So now they say, Umechalkosha Ruvain achalkosha God kamahave, arba milim. There were four mil. A mil is 2,000 amo, which is 8,000 amo. Which is approximately, there's a few different opinions exactly how much a meal is, approximately 4 kilometers. 4 kilometers distance from this Har Nevo to Chalko of God. Oto arba milim mi holichos. Obviously, right? How did he get there? Melamed shayam Hashem mutal bekampei shechina umalachei Hashomrei Dorim tzidkat Hashem oseh umishpatav im Yisrael. Hakadosh Baruch Hu omer mi yakum li'im imereim mi yatzev li'im polei aven. Ushmuel amar mi kacham umi yodea pesher davar. Okay, so these psukim are basically showing right, that Hashem is the one who does the tzedakah, and I'm not sure exactly how these connect to the second. Right, so now they're saying, so the first pasuk is tzidkat Hashem Moseh Mishpatav in Yisrael is basically saying that Hashem Moseh Mishpat. Right, but it doesn't really, this doesn't explain. I see. Okay, so they're not saying, no, they're saying this is what happened when Moshe died. The Hashem took him on Kafei Shechina, and then the Malachei Asherei, these are ways that they were doing a kina for Moshe. This is what they were saying. Tzidkat Hashem Moseh Mishpatav in Yisrael, that Hashem is now going to judge the people in the absence of Moshe. And God is saying, who's going to be my right-hand man, basically? Who's going to be along with me like Moshe was? Shmuel says, he has a different opinion. He says, this is what Hashem said. Pasuk from Kohelet, mi ka chacham u mi yodea pesher davar. Who else is going to be the one? What's pesher? Pshara. Who's going to be the one who's going to compromise like Moshe did, right? Moshe always tried to make peace between God and the people. And Rabbi Yochanan amar, ha-chachma me'ayin timtza, ve'eze makom bina. Now it's where, like, Chachmah is now lost from the world. Rav Nachman Amar, Vayamat Sham Moshe. So what is this? Samalyon Amar. Okay, which is some, Rav Nachman says that God is saying, Vayamat Sham Moshe, Eved Hashem. That's my servant has died. Just a blank statement of, whoa, like, almost like, better off saying that, rather than trying to give specific things, because it then leaves it open to your imagination, to imagine what else God was thinking. And Samalyon Amar, it's another person that he said, Bayamat Sham Moshe, what's that? Safar Rabbi Yisrael, the greatest chacham of the people, has died. Okay, we'll end here for today.